weird architect. My bones are heavy and my soul's a mess. Can't find my address. Build me up. Oh, sweet architect. I've been lonely since the day you left. So come find my address. Build me up. See, we got deep love, but it's a deeper ocean. Dear God, help us keep floating. Some choke, some panic. See, some got a boat, but most haven't. Oh, dear heaven, you know we're trying to make it. But dear heaven, you know it's complicated. Got deep love, but it's a deeper ocean. We got deep love. Oh, sweet architect. My bones are heavy and my soul's a mess. You can't find my address. And build me up. Oh, sweet architect. I've been lonely since the day you left. Come find my address. And build me up. Yeah, we're still here and we're still breathing. Knee deep with a deep needing. We stay brave though we've been damaged. See, most got a heart, but some savage. Oh, dear heaven, I hope you're up to something. Cause dear heaven, this just can't be for nothing. We're still here and we're still breathing. Yeah, we're still here. Oh, sweet architect. My bones are heavy and my soul's a mess. Come find my address. Build me up. Oh, sweet architect. I've been lonely since the day you left. Come find my address. Build me up. Build me up, 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 build me up.
With the Planted series. And I don't know about you, was it Planted and then Community we went on to? But I don't know about you, we were really very changed by that message. And for those of you who missed, or maybe it's your first time, I really would like to encourage you to go onto the Active TV channel and to listen to the messages, because you will really be changed by the Word. The Word of God is not so that we sit here, we go, yo, that was really a good word, and we walk out here and we are never changed. That is not how we do church. That is not how we do God's Word. We do God's Word that we hear it, we are challenged to the point where we have to look at ourselves and go, how do I apply that word in my own life? That we are different when we walk out of here. We are different tomorrow. We are different in our relationships. Yes? And so we have started now a new season called A New Season. And it's You Can Stay Calm. And it's a new season. You know, once we are planted, and we begin to grow, we go into a new season. And so the work God starts, He completes. You know, God is so faithful that He's not just a starter, but He's a finisher. There are tests you can do to see if you are a starter or a finisher. And then what they say is get the starters to start the project, get the finishers to finish the project. And God's saying, hey, you were made in my image. I'm faithful to complete the work that I've started in you. And therefore, we are able to do the same thing. And so Philippians, and this is the verse, the few verses that we are going to be focusing on. And we have probably read this in a quiet time. And you know, when we get to read the beginning, we're like, oh, yes, some meat. we're going to start right from the beginning and show you what incredible word this is. And so Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 to 8 says, "This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." That's the part we usually read over. May he give us grace. May he give you grace and peace. He's greeting them. Then he says, "Every time I think of you, every time I think of you," I'm going to stop there because I want you to think of the person you prayed for this morning that you forgave. Before that prayer, what did you think of that person every time you thought of them? This revving machine began to go grrr, yes? And you felt the sandpaper effect in your heart. And then you looked in the mirror and your face suddenly looked ugly because you're like, grrr. It suddenly came outward, yes? And listen to what Paul says. "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns." Christ is going to return. We are in the last days. How far in the last days? I don't know. But we just need to watch the news and know what the last times look like to go, hey, we are living in the last days. We need to make these days count. Not as in party time, because that's what we think counts. We need to go on holiday. We need to look at what Jesus has called us to do and make it count. And then he says in verse 7, "So it is right that I should feel as I do about you, for you have a special place in my heart." That person, maybe, now, has a special place in your heart because you forgave them. Yes? And if they don't, you need to go, okay, I haven't forgiven them properly because I need to get them back to a place where they have a special place in my heart. Not because of anything they've done. We have a special place in Jesus' heart. And Paul is saying, "You have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God. Do you know that the special favor of God is on your life? Do you know that? Some of you are not living like that because you do not believe that. The special favor of God is on your life." And he says, "Both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news, God knows how much I love you and long for you with tender compassion of Christ Jesus." And so as Paul sets an example, he is saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He's showing us the heart of Jesus Christ right there. And he expects us to follow. And so this is the standard that he has set. This is someone that is ahead of us that we should be following. You see, we've got to be looking at someone who is ahead of us in the faith, who is imitating Christ. And then we need to imitate them as they are imitating Christ. And Paul, yeah, is doing a heck of a good job in imitating Christ. And he's telling us, all believers, this message, he's speaking to all the believers. It was a letter to the church in Philippi, but he was speaking to, it's in the Bible because it is written to all the believers. It was written to us. And we have to understand the heart and the attitude of Paul, so we can imitate him. And so the first point is that it is a greeting of faith. And if you get this message today, I really want to say to you, your life will never be the same again if you get and understand and have revelation of this message. You see, he greeted them. There was no suspicion. There was no suspicion. He didn't look at someone and go, I know what you said about me in the bathroom. So grace and peace, but not to you. He didn't do that. There was no suspicion. There was no fear. He spoke a message of faith. He spoke to people who were liars, who'd lied. He was speaking in the church, yes? In case you thought the church was a place of perfection, it's not, because the moment we all stepped in, it was no longer perfect. You understand? We are not perfect, but Jesus said, be perfect, therefore, as my Father in heaven is perfect. How? By striving to imitate him, by striving to be like him. I'm just human. No, that is settling for our fallen nature. And God is saying no, no. So he was speaking to people who were liars. Liars, did you know there are liars in the church? I know. I know. There are liars in the church. We are liars in the church. Paul was speaking to liars. He was speaking to people who got offended. Do you know that people get offended in the church? I know. I know. Do you know he was speaking to cheaters? Not the animal type. I know we're in Africa. But he was speaking to people. There are cheaters in the church. Do you know there are haters in the church? Yes. He was speaking to thieves. Not at Faraday, but in the church. He was speaking to them. He was speaking to people who were messing up, and his greeting to them was grace and peace to all of you. What a message, what a greeting of faith. What does the Bible say about faith? Faith is believing in that which you cannot yet see. So what do I see? I see a thief, but grace and peace. You are a world changer. But she stole my money out of my bag. Grace and peace. Why? Because he saw by faith what God had placed inside of them. And we in our human nature battle to do that. We hear someone spoke about us in the bathroom, and every time we walk past them, we're like, every 3 months later, girls, still doing the, just so they know, we know. And Paul is going, I know what's in the church. But grace and peace be upon you. The greeting of faith over their lives. You see, we looked a couple of weeks at being in the ministry of reconciliation. I don't know how you fight. And I really, if you get nothing out of this, well the whole message is bound into this. We as people have to learn how to fight. Because we fight in our homes, we fight in our marriages, we fight in our workplaces, we fight in our communities, we fight on social media, we fight in our heads, we like fight. And the way I grew up is we didn't fight like this. We said one or two words and we slammed the door, gush, and then we walked out and we stayed cross and we moaned and argued and complained and whatever, dirty look. I can't really remember. I remember my younger brother and I like climbing into each other and fighting. I remember once hitting a bottle on his head and my mother saw me. I got a hiding. As a little girl, but you know, we didn't fight like it would be, like we didn't sort things out. And then I met Gavin, and I can remember we weren't yet married, and we were sitting in the lounge, and a debate started. And his brothers and sisters were there, and his parents were there, and I were there, and they started to argue, and Gavin was very cross. And he let them have it, and they let him have it, and whatever the fight was about, they were fighting with the, like, shouting, no, this is wrong, and you did this, and I was like so offended. I was like, oh, how could they say that? And I was fully offended. I sat with my mouth shut, looking at everything, taking it all in, and fully offended, like 10 out of 10 offended. How could you speak like, oh, could you say that? You know that feeling? You know that feeling? And that's all spiritual with me. And they were like, no, and they argued it out, and then it came down. And then they started joking and talking. And I was like, I was so offended. And they were now joking and talking. And they were like, high five, check you tomorrow. And I was like, couldn't wait to be alone with him. And I was furious. And he went, it was sorted out. And I was like, I didn't know what to say. I did not understand it. And it took me many years to understand it. Gavin and I got married, and he would like talk, and I'd be like, slam the door and not want to talk. And he'd be come through the door. I'd be like, I just shut the door. I don't want to see you. And I didn't understand it. And I'm sharing this because I know there are people like that. You understand what I'm saying. And you know, this is not what God called us to do. He has called us that we can, we have an enemy, but it's not flesh and blood. That person you forgave is not the enemy. They hurt you. You've hurt people. But you see, the ministry of reconciliation means we are able to get angry, and then we are able to sit and go, hang on. Let's talk this through. I don't agree with you. Why? Now, if we're pulling the word in, we can help that person to the other side where there's no longer anger. So a parent with fighting children, you can step in and bring your child or children to a place where there's reconciliation. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't get this, I see adults on the news and they come in and they say something and they walk off quickly so no one can say anything to them. And I'm like, that's dysfunctional. If you're going to shoot your mouth off, then stand and allow them to speak back. Good point, or I don't agree with you. Do you see, we like cowards. We want to say things, especially when we get hurt. We can be dead quiet. And then they say something that offends us. And the next minute, the hard train comes out. And it doesn't stop coming. We can't be like that. I have watched in this church and in my life so many dysfunctional relationships. And God has taught me so much. And the reason why I'm speaking about this is because I have come to realize I have made so many mistakes in my life. I stand here having made so many mistakes when it comes to relationships. And you don't have to if you understand the word. And you understand there is no relationship where you have to burn the bridge. Now, I'm not talking about where there's a situation. So if you're in a marriage and you were in a marriage and the man beat you to a pulp and he abused you. And I say this carefully because there's more than one side. Now, I'm not saying, it's so difficult to say this. I'm not saying you need to go back now and say, you need to forgive him. You don't have to now step back into that marriage and if you've now divorced and go, I shouldn't have burnt the bridge. That you should have thought of before you got divorced. And I say that carefully because there's so many, I'm not saying there's one way. You understand? But we don't have to fight like we fight. We fight people like they are the enemy. When Jesus is saying there is an enemy who has come to steal and kill and destroy your love, your life, your relationships, your marriage, your children, your job, your thinking, that your life is such a mess, that you are so depressed, that you are so broken, that you prefer being on your own in a little place because you are so hurt. And God is saying, I don't want you to be like that. I love you so much. I want you to sit and work, and I watch as we sit with people. And 9 out of 10 times, they're offended and hurt, and they won't listen. And you just sit, and you keep going, and you keep going. Sometimes it's 10 minutes, and sometimes it's a half an hour, and sometimes it's 1 hour, and sometimes it's 3 hours. But it's so awesome to see a person go from being angry and hurt to understanding and laying it down and being filled with forgiveness and being reconciled and having peace and being set free. Do you understand? That's how it should be in your marriage. That's how it should be with your children. We don't walk out of relationships. It is not okay to walk out of a relationship. It is never okay to go, I'm done. We are not done. We are done when we're lying in our coffin and we are now on our way to heaven. That's when we are done. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's so important. We never give up on people. Paul was saying, grace and peace to you. I will never give up on you. In fact, it goes to the point that I am thankful for you. You have a special place in my heart. And God, who began the good work in you, is so faithful to complete it that grace and peace be on you, because I'm so excited to watch you, because I don't see liar, I don't see murderer, I don't see stealer, I don't see hater, I don't see cheater. I see God has started a work on you and he's going to be finished. And when we step back and he's done, we're going to go, whoa, man, whoa. And then he says, now let's do this. Let's do this. And so he doesn't say this for himself, have you noticed? He's actually speaking to them and the promises are for them. He is confident that God will complete his work in others. You see, when you love others, you pray for others. Our prayer becomes bigger than for me, please for me and my sister, but for me, Lord, because I can't help my sister if you don't do this for me. Please for me, Lord, provide for me, Lord, heal me, Lord, me, Lord, me, Lord, me, and so-and-so sick, help her too, Lord, pity me, because if you don't heal me, then how can I help her? And God's saying, really? Okay, here's a tissue, sort yourself out. You're awesome. You're better than this. When you trust me, I'll do all that for you already anyway. Let's pray it for our brothers and sisters. You see, when we're praying and loving on other people instead of ourselves, we're saying, God, I trust you already. You've got this in my life. I need to now help that person in their life. And so number two is grace. And grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God. I don't know if you've noticed people don't have peace. They just need to open up to you about their marriage and their tears begin to roll or the anger begins to come out. They just need to begin speaking about their fear for their children and their concerns and worries come out. Or they just need to begin to speak about the future. People don't have peace naturally. And so his greeting was grace. God's grace to you, his peace on you. What is grace? Grace is undeserved favor. There's nothing I can do to deserve it, but God gives it. It is no condemnation. You know, God is so different to us. When we do something wrong, we like, I'm so bad, I can't. And God's like, my blood. I was sitting there doing worship. Or something, I was sitting, it wasn't worship. And I remember God showed me this picture. We can do the wrong thing. And when we come to God and we apply the blood, his mercies are new. We have a clean slate to start again. And then we mess up, not deliberately. We mess up because of our fallen nature. We don't plan to, but we mess up. And then his mercies are new. And I just sat there thinking of the devil saying to God, that's not fair. Ah, man, that's not fair. You and I know she did it. My blood. Then you do it again. Man, two times in a day. Man, my blood. My mercy's on you every day. Really, we walk in such a place of victory. We walk in, if you are not walking in victory in your life, it is by choice. Because we walk in such a place of victory, and this is our biggest enemy. She looked at me funny. And then the whole day is ruined. Our love levels have dissipated because she looked at me funny. You know, when I was married early, I would say to Gavin, she looked at me funny. I know what she was thinking. And Gavin would go, no, you're wrong. And I would say to him, I did the I hate you thing. You don't take my side. You don't love me. And Gavin's not going to go, oh, no, I do. I'll listen to you. If you know Gavin, he's not that type of man. He would go, no, you're throwing a tantrum. You're wrong. But Gav, you know, once in a while he'd say, maybe you're right. There's a possibility. Now, looking back, he probably knew they did do that. But he wouldn't say that. He would say, there's a possibility you're right. But what are you focusing on it for? What are you why can't you see the best in the situation? Why can't you see that it's not there? And I fought him for years. I thought he was the ugliest husband on the planet. And then I had revelation. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, we live such an easy life when we stop being suspicious of people. We stop going, I know. You know how we, and I do that deliberately. I don't want to look at the screen to see how I look because I know I look bad doing it. But that's how we all look. You know, I'm demonstrating it, but we all look like, I know what she said to me. You know, but we all do that. And God's saying, no, you are better than this. You are better than this. And so Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, we don't deserve that gift. It is free. It is a free gift. Why is it that people can have testimonies of being raped, of being sexually abused, of having such a messed up life growing up, and yet they can become the most incredible world changers? Why is it? Because they decided, because they chose to receive his grace. It wasn't because they were better. It wasn't because they were more educated. It wasn't because they had more money in their life. Nothing like that. It was because they made a decision that God's grace is over me. And their lives change. And they go on to change the world. And so when he says grace to you, he's saying grace to the one who took my cell phone, grace to the one who stole my money, grace to my husband or my wife. Who knows? Marriages need so much grace. Yes? Yes. I'm telling you. Grace to my mother or my father. Not grace to my mother or father. You know that face? Grace to my parents. Grace to my brother and sister. Grace to my leader and disciples. You see, we can trust people without suspicion. And you know, when I was suspicious of people, I would watch people and I would back into corners and I'd be hurt all the time. And it doesn't actually matter what you think or what you say. It doesn't worry me. I can love you regardless. It's so freeing. I can love you even if you're looking funny because I don't see you looking funny. I'll say, oh, your eyes are so beautiful. No, I'm just teasing. Okay, so the third one is peace in all areas of our life. We need peace. And we need peace. If you look at the way the world is going and what's happening, and even in our own nation, we need peace. And his prayer is that the people may comprehend, that believers may comprehend more fully the nature of that relationship of peace which God established in them. You see, we are ambassadors of peace. Where we step in, peace should come. We step into that house of glasses flying and plates flying, and it's not a Greek party. If any of you know what a Greek party is, then we should be able to bring peace into that situation. Do you understand? We should be able to go, I'm not getting out of here. That's not what we say. I'm getting out of here. I can't do this. I'm done. We don't speak like that. Okay? And it is a process. So if you've gotten this wrong all your life, God will begin to work that you get it right. And maybe times you'll be, I really messed this up. Next time, you'll know to push more with the person. We don't give up. It is dysfunctional that we walk out. It is in our nature. I shared my story because I know I'm not the only one like that here. I know that I'm not there. I'm finished now. I've had enough. We can't speak like that. Imagine if Jesus did that. He would have been continuous. He would have walked around the whole earth. You know, with whatever, with all people did to him. So we can't speak like that. We can't burn bridges. And we can't be in control. You see, many of us don't have peace because we want to control everything. We want to control our spouse. We want to control our circumstances. We want control over our sick child. We want control over our finances. We want control over our soulmate. And then we fall apart when we can't have control. But God's saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry. He actually says, tomorrow will have problems of its own, so don't worry about tomorrow. And then we want to worry. I'm so worried. And then tomorrow comes and I should have worried. Look at what happened. God says, today's got enough worries of its own, pray for what you need. Give us this day our daily bread. Pray for what you need and trust God. When tomorrow comes, we will come back to God. Father, give me today my daily bread. And why? Because God wants us to come back to Him daily. Because when you are in a relationship with someone, you speak to them and you come back to them daily. And that's what He wants. As long as you're in my presence, I can answer all your prayers. You will know what to do. You will walk in wisdom. There will be no confusion. You see, there's a problem if we're confused. There's a problem if we have confusion as Christians, because then something is wrong. Confused Christians are disobedient Christians. And so we're not here to lead balanced lives. We're here to lead a godly life. And so Romans 16 verse 20 says, "And the God of peace," the God of peace, "will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Shortly. So keep going. Ephesians 2 verse 14 says, "For he himself is our peace." When we begin to feel fear, God is our peace. And James 3:18 says, "And those who are peacemakers," who are those? Say it loudly. We are peacemakers. Who are the peacemakers? Who are the peacemakers? Who are the peacemakers? Tell your neighbor, "I'm a peacemaker." Tell your other neighbor. Yes, maybe tell yourself first. Okay, and listen, it says those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. We will plant seeds of peace and we will reap a harvest of righteousness. How amazing is that? And so he says, "I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ." That person you prayed for, there has to be a supernatural miracle for you to get to a place where you can say that. Do you see how we can't do this on our own? Where we can stand and look at someone and go, "I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ."
Now them, now we are who. No one wants to take the blame for what we've become. See, the land God gave us a gift to us. How did we turn our blessing into a curse? The world used to envy us back when we had a voice, but now we have failed, and now they ignore us. Our lives like a circus, when we speak they won't hear us. We all don't really just pray in God to help us, 'cause the system has failed us. Corruption surrounds us and everybody's crying. Who can save us? All we need is one man. One man. All we need is one man who's ready to fight for what's right. A man with foresight. All we need is one man who's ready to lead us. Lead us to the promised land. Is that man? You'll take you and me, and we can do all it takes to raise us from this dust. No matter the cost, we'll save the land God gave us. Save her from destruction. Everyone who hears my voice, make a choice. We walk with our head high. The world will be watching. We'll make a stand, and they won't ignore us. We all must remember the strength in our number. One man.
Shebeen, 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 Shebeen.